So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. So on the board is number 22, but I've been requested to do from verse number 19. So first we'll chant this verse and then I'll combine all the verses. Please repeat. Evam vikalpito rajan vidusha muninapi saha prashrayavano vanato bayaha. Sorry, my voice is very bad today. Praja kamas tado munim evam vikalpito rajan vidusha muninapi saha prashrayavanato bhaya prajakamastato munim evam vikalpito rajan vidusha muninapi saha prashrayavanato bhaya Praja karmastato munim evam vikalpito rajan vidusha muninapi saha prajrayavanato bhaha praja karmastato munim. Vaishnavis with good eyesight, any Vaishnavi. Evam vidavito rajan vidusha munina pisaha prajayavanato bhaya prajakarma sito muni. Very good. So, word for word, please repeat. Evam, thus, vikalpitaha, questioned. Rajan, O King Parikshit. Vidusha, greatly learned. Munina, by the philosopher. Api, although. Saha, he, King Chitraketu, Prajraya Avana Nataha, being bent low due to humility, Abhyaha replied, Praja Kamaha, desiring offspring, Tataha, thereafter, munim, to the great sage. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami said, O King Parikshit, although the great sage Angira knew everything, he inquired from the king in this way. Thus King Chitraketu, desiring a son, bent low in great humility and spoke to the great sage as follows. Please repeat. Sukadeva Goswami said, O King Parikshit, although the great sage Angira knew everything, he inquired from the king in this way. Thus King Chitraketu, desiring a son, bent low in great humility and spoke to the great sage as follows. Purport Srila Prabhupada. Since the face is the index to the mind, a saintly person can study the condition of one's mind by seeing his face. When Angira Rishi remarked about the king's discolored face, King Chitraketu explained the cause of his anxiety as follows. So that's the purport. So now we'll read from number 19, the translations. Om Jnana Timarandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chakshurm Chalitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukum Karochi Vachalam Bhangam Laite Girim Yad Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Guru Yudhutarinam. So, translation, verse number 19. O King, are your wives citizens, secretaries and servants, and the merchants who sell spices and oil under your control? Are you also in full control of ministers, the inhabitants of your palace, your provincial governors, your sons, and your other dependents? Purport. The master or king and his subordinates should be interdependent. Through cooperation, both of them can be happy. Verse 20. If the king's mind, this is Angira Muni again, if the king's mind is fully controlled, all his family members and governmental officers are subordinate to him. His provincial governors present taxes on time without resistance, and what to speak of lesser servants. 21. O King Chitraketu, I can observe that your mind is not pleased. You seem not to have achieved your desired goal. Is this because of you yourself, or has it been caused by others? Your pale face reflects your deep anxiety. Then the verse we chanted, Sukadeva Goswami said, O King Parikshit, although the great sage Angira knew everything, he inquired from the king in this way. Thus King Chitraketu, desiring a son, bent low in great humility and spoke to the great sage as follows. Yes. So Angira Muni is one of the, he's the third mind-born son of Brahma directly. He was born at a yajna performed by Rudra, attended by Brahma. Brahma saw Urvasi, and eventually the 10 sages were born. Angira is the Muni, the Rishi, in under whose shelter the Atharva Veda is there. He is in charge of proposing, protecting the understanding of the Atharva Veda. He is also the father of Angirasa. who is the father of Brihaspati. So he's a great, great sage, non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead in consciousness. He's the servant of Lord Brahma and a Prajapati. So he was wandering the universe, free, liberated soul. In the Shastra you will find that he was given instruction by Lord Brahma upon his birth to perform austerities and dedicate the result of those austerities to the welfare of the universe. That is understandable. Lord Brahma, he is Prajapati. He is the supreme Prajapati. He is the father of the universe. So he's very concerned for the welfare of his offspring. So Angira was told by Lord Brahma, you are free to perform austerities and go here and there, but I will call upon you for specific tasks. Angira accepted this direction of Lord Brahma. So here we have Angira Muni happening upon the court of Chitraketu. Chitraketu, he was the king of Surasena, the ancient kingdom. It's not specified which yuga this meeting took place, but we can, from the preceding verses, the king lived in great opulence with so many wives. He was a great king, very pious. Surasena is the area upon which we are situated now in the ancient kingdom, but much larger than the present designations of this land. And everything was being very nicely managed by Surasena. So we can understand this was not Kali Yuga. The Puranas, they go through different yugas and different days of Lord Brahma and accumulate so many stories for our guidance. What is that verse? Krishne swadharmo pagate dharma jnane dibisaha kalo nasta drisham esha pranako dinodita. This prana is especially meant. This is what Suta Goswami told the sages in Namasharanya. They were asking, the Bhagavatam at the beginning asks various questions, and one of them, to Suta Goswami, one of them was that now Krishna, accompanied by jnana and dharma, has returned to his own abode. Where now will guidance come for human society? Where will people get knowledge and the rules and regulations by which they can live nicely and eventually develop love of Godhead? That is the goal of all dharma, to develop one's relationship with the Supreme Lord and act accordingly, and thus avoid the dense darkness of this age of Kali. So Suta Goswami told the sages there, assembled in Naimasharanya, which is variously mentioned in the Puranas and as the hub of the universe. They were assembled there to perform yajna. But the yajna they were performing was shravanam. We should not just term yajna in terms of a fire sacrifice. grains and ghee and so on. But shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, parasevanam. Just like now, in our own way, we are performing yajna, hearing and chanting. So, the answer there was Puranaka Dinodita. This Purana has arisen like the sun to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. In darkness, people lose their sight. It doesn't matter how good your eyes are, but if you don't have the sun, you cannot see. So, Kalo Nasta Drisham, Isha, all these people that have lost their sight because of the darkness spread by Kali and the agents of Kali, Puranaka Dinodita. This Purana has arisen like the sun. So within these stories, there is great guidance. The Purana, particularly the Bhagavad Purana, they exemplify the conclusions of the Vedanta Sutra, which is the summation of the essence of the original four Vedas. Also, Vyasadev, he wrote the fifth Veda, the Mahabharata, for Stri Sudra Dvija Bandhanam, for the women Shudra class, for the friends of the twice born. The higher classes in the Vedic social system are Dvija Bandhu. They're supposed to be born again from the spiritual master, the Vaishya Kshatriya Brahman. But Bandhuna means those that are born but not qualified in those three higher classes. So the Mahabharata is the story form of the Vedas. And just as the Vedanta Sutra is the extract of the original four Vedas, so the Bhagavad Gita is the extract of the Mahabharata. It is explained that the Mahabharata is like a wish-fulfilling cow, and Arjuna has milked that cow, and the milk is the Bhagavad Gita. So both the Bhagavad Gita and the Vedanta Sutra are the essence of the Vedic teachings, but they are exemplified particularly in the Amala Puran, the spotless Puran, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Why is it spotless? Because though the stories in the Bhagavatam, they give guidance in karma, that means the duties a man should perform, his bounden duties, according to his birth and propensity, guna and karma, according to his quality and propensity, not his birth and propensity, they explain karma. Karma means to follow your duty. Karma yoga means to follow your duty and offer the result to the Supreme Lord. And also jnana is there, rational analysis and detailed analysis of our relationship with the Supreme Lord. This is all in the Puranas and even the Srimad Bhagavatam. But the special quality which makes the Bhagavatam the Amala Puran is the fact that all these discussions of karma and jnana, they port to one end. Krishna explains that end. Vedanta Krit Vedavid Eva Chaham. That all the Vedic knowledge point to one thing, and that is the elucidation of the Supreme Lord, our relationship with the Supreme Lord, and how to act accordingly and develop Krishna Prem. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So here we see exemplified in expanded form, Jai, Sri Sri Gaur-Nitai, Sri Guru Parampara, Krishna Balaram, Gomata, Radhasham Sundar Lalit Vishakha, Giri Govardhan, Shalagram Maharaj, K. Jai. Though we see this exemplifies all these points that are there in sutra form throughout the Gita and the Vedanta Sutra, expanded in the Bhagavatam, we see that it directs us to the ultimate position, and that is Prem Bhakti, Purushartha. The Vedas are giving, yes, perform your dharma according your karma, and then you'll get artha, you'll get a comfortable material position, and then you can enjoy your senses. But then, seeing that the fallacy of this regulated material enjoyment, seeing it as ultimately temporary and full of suffering, you will go for prem, which is the fifth goal, and the supreme artha, the supreme wanted, the supreme necessity, prema prayojan. Prayojan means goal, but also necessity. It is a necessity, because without prem, you cannot be fully liberated from your material entanglement. Huh? What is that verse? Third canto. Muktir hitaban yata rupan swarupena avivastiti. If you want real mukti, swarupena avivastiti, you must be situated in your spiritual relationship, your spiritual nature, your spiritual form. And in that relationship, develop prem. And then that is real mukti. Real mukti is not just to renounce, but it is to become attached, not to the Maya Shakti, illusory offerings of Durga Devi, who tests us in our sincerity, but rather to become attached to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna and his intimate devotees. This is the goal, and it is the necessity, or else we will simply return to Janma, Mrityu, Vyadhi. We'll just birth and death, disease, jara, old age. Jara and vyadi, they're brother and sister. Old age and disease. So it is a necessity to become a devoted, purified lover of the Supreme. And Lord Chaitanya has explained that this is the natural condition. What is that verse? Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sarukabanai Shravanadi Sudachitte Kride Udai. The Krishna Prem is there in dormant condition in the heart. How is it awoken? It is awoken by Shravanadi, by hearing and chanting. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. Then Sudachitte, Chetradapanamajinam. The mind, the consciousness becomes purified, the body becomes purified as a result, and then prem awakens from within the soul, from just like in the right condition a tree awakens from the seed. So in Kali Yuga, we must avoid sinful activity following regulative principle, and then Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam. This will awaken our natural attachment to Krishna and Krishna's pure devotees. So the stories in the Bhagavatam, they exemplify this. And here we see, exemplified in the life of Chitraketu, the fallacy, the paucity of material attachment. He is the king of a great kingdom, unlimited. And as Angira Muni has explained, are your ministers working nicely? The governors are giving their taxes. Are your family members and your close servants, are they all obedient to you? And he makes the point that those subordinates in the organization of material society, they will be naturally harmonious with the desires of the king if the king's mind is controlled. It is natural that the subordinates look to their superior. And if the superior is a trustworthy, kind, and a giver of shelter to the praja, just like Lord Brahma requested Angira, look after the universe for me. These are all my children. In the same way, the king takes the position of Lord Brahma and he should care for the praja. Unfortunately now, Kali Yuga, we have false leaders who are deliberately degrading and degenerating the praja. Drugs, illicit sex, horrible music, bad diet, using the people as cannon fodder, as a means to make profit through war. This is the leaders of Kali Yuga. At the beginning of the Purana here, it is explained that Kali, he's a very evil-looking, dark personality, and he is dressed as a king, as a leader, but he wants to destroy Dharma. And only one leg is left on the bull of Dharma, and that is truthfulness, and he is hacking away at that. Kali is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. So if you examine the lives of the leaders nowadays, their only concern is to feed the expended belly of the greedy industrial military complex. They have no concern for the spiritual education, the spiritual liberation, the material comfort even for the praja. The praja are wandering, begging for medical treatment, dental treatment, for shelter, for wife, for food, give me some engagement. But the economic system in the world nowadays is made for exploiting the people. It is made for making unemployment. In the Gita, Krishna says, klesho adhikarascha. Tells Arjuna, did you have a right, Arjuna, to perform your duty, your karma? You have a right. Every man, every woman, they have a right to have a situation. This is adhikaras, right, qualification. In the Vedic system, Sanskrit, adhikar, qualification is the same as right. Now everybody talks about rights. But do you have the qualification? So under the direction of the gurus, the rishis, the munis, the sages, people can develop the qualification for their particular propensities, which they can offer to the Supreme Lord. But that is all being destroyed by multi-billionaires who want a billion more tomorrow and a billion more than they can ever spend, and to hell with the people. And they openly are talking about, there's too much population, we must decrease the population. Why? Because if there's only 500 million left, they'll be easier to exploit. So this is a very terrible condition. Kalo Nasta. People have lost their sight, and it is being deliberately constructed and covered by the demoniac agents of Kali, knowingly or unknowingly. And you should know that Kali is not just an impersonal force. The Supreme Lord is not an impersonal force. Lord Chaitanya, he has his own personal arrangement, his own plan. And so has Kali. Kali, his plan is that, to destroy the qualities of leaders. Here though, it is explained one big point, like we say is, that if the leader is disciplined with his mind controlled, and how do you discipline and control the mind? That is in the first verse of the Bhagavatam. Param satyam dhimahi. To meditate on the absolute truth. If you are not in knowledge of the absolute truth, how will you ever meditate on the absolute truth? There are so many bogus spiritual teachers, and they will say God is out of touch, God is impersonal, there is no God, scientific atheism, all sorts of nonsense theories are proposed as an explanation for the universe and the creation. They are all being proposed. These are the agents of Kali. And it is a planned deception. But the Vaishnavas, they know that Kali has no position in this world other than that we give. So, Prabhupada created the Krishna consciousness movement so that at least one class, one small amount of people would not be degenerated, whatnots, misbehaving, abusing, exploiting as their main system of life. But people that like Chintraketu, like Lord Brahma, like Indra, Angira, that would be concerned for the praja. So we all have a great responsibility. That is the plan of Lord Chaitanya. That is the plan of Prabhupada, to create actual devotees that can inspire the people in the direction of saintliness in transcendental life. But here a great point is made. Surasena was a great kingdom. Chitraketu was the great leader. But he had so many wives, as explained, it's almost hard to believe. He had millions of wives, so you can imagine his opulence and his area. But no son. So it is explained there that a hungry man, he cannot enjoy anything because his hunger is burning, right? You may be the king of the world, but if you're hungry and thirsty, then how much happiness will show on your face? So Angira Muni could see. And of course, though we say Angira happened upon the court of the king, actually, this is all the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. The Vaishnavas. And this is in the Gita Mahatmya and also in the Bhagavat Puran, that the Supreme Lord enters the heart of his devotee and he enjoys pastimes there. When Srila Prabhupada went to America, we should not think he went alone. He went with Lord Chaitanya. What is that verse? Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravatana. Without Krishna Shakti, without carrying Krishna in your heart, you cannot describe the conclusions of the Vedas. Nahi Tara Pravatana. You cannot spread those. For Prabhupada was carrying Lord Chaitanya and all the results and all the rishis within his heart. And if you hear Srila Prabhupada and study his writings, you also will be able to carry Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda within your heart. And that is your responsibility. So Angira saw, oh, Surasena is not looking perky. Could see in the face. This is the science of physiognomy, the shape of the face. But not only that, the mood is portrayed in the face. So he could see by his mystic vision. That means because his consciousness is harmonized with the Supreme Lord. So whatever thoughts are provoked within his consciousness, they are satyam, they are truth, they are not illusory. This is the quality of the great sage, that what he hears and sees and thinks, they are in harmony with the transcendence. Whereas the opposite is true. For those who are materially conditioned, everything they think is partial, illusory, distorted knowledge. And on this basis they propose all sorts of material, political and psychological, social philosophies that are practically useless, that only make the problem worse. Because it is just another layer of Maya upon another layer of Maya. So Angira could see the heart of Chitraketu. And he could see, and he inquired, what is the problem? This is also another point, that the great sage, he does not display his opulence. He didn't walk into the court of Chitraketu and say, I know what your problem is. I can look into your heart. No. He related to Chitraketu on his terms, out of humility. But with an eye to helping Chitraketu. Chitraketu, as we see, what was that hunger that was making him pale and unhappy? I have no son. And according to the rules of Dharma, I have to offer pinda to maintain my forefathers in Prithviloka. If I don't do that, they're Kshatriyas, they may have performed so many activities unavoidably in the Kshatriya system. You have to quell upstarts, so on and so forth. So if I don't offer pinda, they'll fall from Prithviloka and I will be outside my duty. I will have been a failure in my duty. So even Chitraketu, he was understanding that his life is a matter of duty, not a matter of enjoyment. Just like Parikshit Maharaj, when he realized, and actually the sage that Parikshit Maharaj, through the arrangement of the Lord, put the sage upon, the snake upon, he is a descendant of Angira Muni. But even Chitraketu, he realized the Supreme, that my duty is not fulfilled. And Parikshit Maharaj, when he heard he was cursed, he was a great powerful devotee, he could have sent the curse back, but he accepted it, not to break the social system. Because Sringi was the son of a sage, a brahmana, a qualified brahmana, so he accepted that curse. You will die in 7 days. We will all die in 7 days. There are only 7 days in a week. So one of those days will be ours. We should remember that. And what was Parikshit Maharaj's response? His response was, what is now my duty? He didn't think I've got 7 days left to enjoy like these foolish people. He thought, what is my duty now? I've performed my whole life, my duty to the kingdom. Now what is my duty? So Sukadeva Goswami, yes, you should hear and then go back to Godhead. That is your duty. So this is the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But Chitraketu is not exactly ready to hear that. So Angira Muni is inquiring, what is troubling you, O king? Chitraketu will come forward. He will explain, oh, I don't have a son and I feel that I will fall down in my duty to my forefathers. Plus, naturally, a man gets married, he wants to have children. He wants to expand his lineage, particularly Kshatriyas, touched by Rajagun. They want to expand their lineage. They want to be remembered as a noble king. They want to be thought of as a Prajapati, a father of the children. Now people, of course, are having sex and producing children like cats and dogs. If you remember, at the beginning of the Gita, what was Arjuna's main problem? If I destroy all these great personalities, the women will be unprotected by noble men, and by the nature of women, they will become seduced by perfumes and sweet words, by low-class men, and Varna Shankara will be produced, and then society will go to hell. This is the key reason why women should be protected. They shouldn't become bellicose men attempting that. They should be protected. Why? You protect things that are most valuable. So when women are protected and producing good children through garbha samskaras, through the directions of the shastra, then noble children will be born and the praja will be successful and protected. So, just because the Veda says women should be protected by the father, the husband, and then the sons, it does not mean that they are lesser. It means it's because they're most important for the progress of society. And if the women become corrupted, then society will become corrupted. The first guru of the child is the mother. So Chitraketu, he was a learned man. He knew all these things, but he had no son. So Angira Muni, we will see later on, out of his mercy, he arranged. Angira Muni, son of Lord Brahma, mind-born, you can imagine his potency, performing so many austerities, dedicating it to the welfare. It is explained later on that, yes, Angira, Chitraketu, I will give you a son. But the blessing of a sage is not material opulence or material facility. The blessing of a sage is that you learn that this world is not your home. That your real home is in transcendence. So this son will be the source of great joy. But he will also cause sadness. So, of course, people like to look on the good side. That is natural for the spirit soul. So, Angira Muni, he performed a yajna. He worshipped Twasta. Who is Twasta? Sometimes he's called Twastri. He is the son of Vishvakarma. He is Garbhapati. He manifests in various places. He's mentioned 55 times in the Rig Veda. He is the manifest portion of Vishvakarma. He's Garbha. Garbha means the womb, Pati, father. That is one of his functions. He is the Devata empowered by the Supreme Lord to make Rupa. When you see the beauty of nature, the trees, the mountains, the icebergs in the sea, the land, the rivers, the beauty of the sky, the clouds. You're seeing rupa. So this is partially and formed, this rupa, under the direction of Tvastha or Tvastri. So he is Garbhapati. He forms, in concert with other devatas, the child within the womb. And we all have rupa. That is a form. We all have this form by the grace of Tvastha. The material energy, pradhan, is ultimately amorphous. But through the action of Kala Shakti, Lord Shiva, the modes and so on, they're differentiated into different material elements, 24. But then they have to be formed into the shapes of the world, not only of this material bhuloka, but also bhuvarloka, swargaloka, mahaloka, janaloka, tapaloka, sachiloka. And even then, as you go down, atala, vitala, sutala, talatala, mastala, rasatala, patala, as you go down into the lower planetary systems, their rupas becomes more and more ghastly. But as you go up, the rupa becomes more harmonious and more beautiful. So Tvastha, he was worshipped by Angira. Tvastha, he is also the father of Vishwarup. You know that from the earlier part. Tvastha, his wife, was from the Asura lineage. So Vishwarup, he used to mix with the Asuras. He had affection for them. Indra made a false unity treaty with Vishwarup and ultimately killed. So Tvastha, he has a natural enmity against Indra, because Indra, as we hear earlier, he killed Vishwarup. Vishwarup had three heads. So it's said that Vishwa, with one head he would see the Vishwa, the universe. With another he would drink a certain liquor that they have in the heavenly planets. And with the other head he would recite the Vedas. So of course he's not on this Bhumandala, he's in Swargaloka, where they have subtle forms and these things are possible. So anyway, Indra killed him with the Vrajra. And it's interesting to know this Vrajra is also created by the consort of Vishvakarma. That means the thunderbolt weapon. It is also created by the intervention of Tvastha and Vishvakarma, the Vrajra. So, a child was born, we will see, to Chitraketu. But Chitraketu, his wife was Kirti Duti. It was his favorite wife. That's natural that love finds one resting point. Of course, if you love Krishna and your love rests at the lotus feet of Krishna, then you will love all his energy, his whole creation, because everything is Krishna, in that sense, being his energy. But the king, still materially conditioned, loved one queen. So when the child was born, the wife, Kritaduti, took the sweet rice, and the child was a great joy. But the other wives were not so pleased. They were in consternation. Oh, now Kirtaduti will get all the attention and will be left. Will be put aside. Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. something to remember. Arjuna found that out when he refused Urvasi. Urvasi cursed him to become a eunuch. So he became a dancing teacher in the 13th year of exile. Urvasi approached him in Swargaloka and said, oh, he's very attracted to Arjuna. Arjuna is the son of Indra. Yeah, so you can see it's all tied together. And, please, let us have union. But Arjuna knew the lineage of his family and he said, no, sorry, you are my mother in the lineage. But then Urvasi countered. No, those laws don't apply here in Swargaloka. But Arjuna said, no, but I'm still bound to my family upon Bhumandala. So Urvasi also, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned, cursed him, you'll become a eunuch. So he became the dancing teacher of whom? Huh? Uttara. So, the other wives, they did a most despicable deed and murdered through jealousy, envy, the child. We'll finish at this point, and in later classes we can expand upon the other stories. We will leave the result hanging. Of course you can pick up a Bhagavatam and search forward. And many of you are already great sages, you know the result. So that is the blessing of a sage. Yes, you can have your son, but my real blessing is that you lose your material attachment. You see this material world for what it is. It is Durgadam. It is not a place of happiness. Dukalayam asashvitam. What we take for happiness, we're just spectators at the agitation of our senses. And we interpret it as happiness. But real happiness is rooted in the soul by seeing the satisfaction of Gonitai, the Panchatattva, Radha Krishna and the pure devotees. And how do we satisfy all these great leaders in Kali Yuga? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So thank you very much for your attention. Any questions? Quick questions? Prem Prayojan. Purush Artha. Purusha.
Feeling that there's a general conception in our movement that if you take initiation, you carefully follow the principles, then you're okay. You don't fall so often in the description of topics of achieving Krishna Prema. Whenever these things sometimes are brought up, it's thought as a very high thing, or achieving one's spiritual form. My experience, these topics, they don't go over so well in certain audiences.
What topics?
For the example, the attainment of prema and what that entails.
Well, Prabhupada preaches prema, and his books preach prema. This is the final conclusion. But generally, the affairs of prema in the realized format, Radha Krishna Leela, they should be delved into by the liberated soul. They are not for general discussion, public discussion. So, understandably, Gita, Bhagavatam, these classes in a public format, they do not, and it is not advisable that the neophyte contemplate the relationships in the transcendental abode as revealed by Lord Chaitanya and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, unless he is well grounded in following regulative principles, well grounded in Sambandha Gyan. This is, or else, the tendency will be Prakrita Sahajiya. He will interpret those loving affairs between Radha and Krishna according to his material conditioning. And he'll think that in various ways, according to the person, that these are material relationships. Or at least he'll think this spiritual world is just like the material world in this various way. So those topics, if you are attracted, and certainly they are very necessary, you should find qualified sangha and guidance. And if you can't find that, then you should read the writings on these subjects of the great sages, like Prabhupada in Krishna book, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jiva Dharma. That will give you a good grounding. First we should learn Sambandha Tattva, the relationships between Krishna and his energies and their interrelationships. Then we can progress to Rasa Tattva. When we are liberated and we are Nishta and we are overcoming to a large extent the anarthas of material conditioning, then we can apply our intelligence to Rasa Tattva. But if we do that at an immature stage, that is not the process given by the Acharyas. That is the process given by the Sahajiya. Immediately go to Radha Krishna. Immediately go to Prem. Start discussing it. Yesterday I was a rickshaw wala. Today I have my silly pranali. And I'm meditating on myself as a gopi serving Krishna. This will take the person to hell. This will break his advancement. We should Mahajaina Katasvapanta. We should understand our relationship to the Supreme Lord from the liberated position. And then from that liberated position, through being Nishta and getting Nam Ruchi, then yes, we can apply our intelligence to the loving affairs of the transcendental abode. The Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, is the 10th canto. It's not the first canto, the second canto, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth. It is the 10th canto. And then in the 11th canto is the Uddhava Gita. And this is the development of Rasa Tattva. That is also called the Paramahansa Samhita. So, we have to progress nicely. Just like if you want to be a postgraduate student, you can't be that when you're in primary school. Go to primary school, then go to high school, then go to university, then become a master of arts, then become PhD. You don't study PhD topics in primary school. If you're Lord Shiva, that's okay. He mastered the Vedas at the age of 8. But generally, the people in Kali Yuga, Manda Sumanda Matayo, they have to be brought along very carefully. And Prabhupada always emphasized this. But if you study teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya Charitamrita, he said this is the postgraduate study. But first become grounded in Bhagavad Gita, then the expanded form, the Srimad Bhagavatam, then delve into the expositions that Ramananda Roy gives to Lord Chaitanya, Sanatan Shiksha, Rupa Goswami Shiksha. Take everything progressively. And if you want a nutshell book, then you read Jiva Dharma. Prabhupada recommended that. Don't be misled by the Sahajiyas. There are many in different parts of Vrindavan. They're disciples of the people that try to kill Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. Because he fought this Sahajiyism. And these people, they are very attentive to suck devotees away from the path given by Bhaktivinod, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Bhaktivedanta. They are very eager. The war is still on. They've already revealed their demoniac nature by their attempts to murder Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, stone him in Parikram, because he was, and Bhaktivinod Thakur, he exposed, this is not the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, it is over there. Madai Ghat is there. Huh? So you should be very careful who you associate with. You hold tightly to Srila Prabhupada and don't become distracted by these Sahajiyas that give this concocted idea, Siddha Pranali, and start meditating on your... You first conquer your senses by gaining fixation in Sambandha Gyan. You become realized that you're not the body. And read Krishna book. Prabhupada has given the Krishna Leela there. You study the Anathas. You read Chaitanya Shikshamrita. They explains this will purify you. If you go to the pastimes of Radha Krishna at an immature stage, that is not the process. I'm not saying that's the case with you, but I'm saying in a general principle. We have seen so many people leave the shelter of Prabhupada, and we have not seen anybody successful. Guru Nishtha. What is the first of the 64 principles Rupa Goswami gives in the Nectar of Devotion? He says, Guru Ashraya. You take shelter of Paramahansa, Uttamadhikari Guru. And Lord Chaitanya, even in the time of Lord Chaitanya, you can read in Chaitanya Bhagavat, the Sahajiya class was there. You can read it directly. Taking the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, Mam Namaskuru is our system. I am not qualified. I remember the name separation, Vipralamba Seva Bhav. In the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Rupa Raghunath, Vilap Kusmanjale, he is exactly a Manjari, but he is worshipping Radha Krishna in separation. What is the verse in the Shikshak Nayanam Gladishru Dharaya? Huh? I haven't attained you. I don't understand you. I don't understand your transcendental leela. That is the attitude that draws the mercy and the revelation of the Supreme Lord upon the devotee. Not that, through imagination, I know everything. My guru told me I'm a peacock, so therefore I'm practicing perching on the side of the sofa every morning. This is all nonsense. Nowhere in the Shastra have I come across that in more than 45 years. Nowhere. That is not the path of Rupa Raghunath. Path of Rupa Raghunath is Mam Namaskuru. Man Mana Bhava Mad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. You offer your obeisances to these intimate pastimes and you beg the Supreme Lord for a little understanding. Any other question? Yeah.
Sometimes a neophyte bhakta might join a temple, even if it's not temple. We're currently reading from 10th Canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. Do you have any comments on this?
Well, Krishna is like the sun. The sun purifies anything. So any approach to Krishna is beneficial. So in one purport in the Adi Leela, Prabhupada explains that we should respect the Sahajiyas because they are approaching Krishna. The sun is not contaminated even though it shines upon a urinal. So we should respect everyone. But asat sangi chagi, what does it mean? You don't associate with people who are asat, who don't know the conclusion of the Shastra, and those that are attached to material enjoyment. You don't associate with them. You take shelter of the great sages. Bhakti Vinod Thakur. You take shelter of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Srila Prabhupada. So therefore, Prabhupada gave Krishna book, yes, before he was completing so much of the Bhagavatam. And in the Krishna book, there is so much guidance there on these points. So yes, Mahajyena Katasva Pantha, we should offer our obeisances to the teachings, the discourses of the realized devotees, the Mahajan. We shouldn't be deflected by envious people whose job is to make money out of befooling neophytes. That was the objection. If the real Janmastan is revealed, where's the pacer for our pocket? And they're ready to kill. And this is still going on, trying to distract. Oh, why are you wearing Gera Kopra? Wearing Gera Kopra, Lord Chaitanya. Read in the Shastra, read in the Upanishads. It's exactly described. But all the nonsense and all they can talk about is the khadra of cloth. Yena tena prakarena mana Krishna nisesana. If all you can talk about is the color of cloth and, oh, Prabhu, why are you calling me Prabhu? That is for Mahaprabhu. All this nonsense, that's all they can talk about? No. If you want to know Krishna, you have to please Krishna. Krishna, it cannot be forced by any opulence, material or intellectualism. He is only attracted to the sincerity. You prove your sincerity by becoming the strict follower of the great Mahajan. Then Krishna will speak to you in the heart. So you read the writings of the great Acharyas, not the speculations of businessmen in the dress of devotees. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur Ki Jai. Thank you for your kind attention.